Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events on this very fine Monday afternoon, December 30th, 2013. Once again, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody. Getting pretty close to the end of the year.
How about that?
Yeah, isn't that something? Will you miss 2013, Melody?
Will you
look back with a certain amount of fondness and wistfulness when you think back to 2013?
Well, probably not.
I don't think I will either.
It's going to be a year that it went quickly by. And the most exciting thing, really, in 2013 has really been the correction in gold prices, really. And
yeah.
I think that's probably the biggest story of the year, the way they hammered that down. And
I think Obamacare is the biggest story.
The
and maybe even Eric Edward Snowden's release of the information on the NSA. I'd say those are, as stories go, those are of a bigger impact.
But
I think, for so far, we'll see what the impact is going to be over the course of no telling how many years you can look into the future and say how this price of gold is going to impact the future. Obamacare, I'm not sure where this is going to wind up, but big problems, the big political problems have probably been seen. Now we'll watch and see how the mechanics work out. The rest of that. Edward Snowden is becoming a distant blip on the radar. No longer as important as he was back 6 months ago. But gold, that story will carry on because ultimately it's a reflection of what's happening in our monetary system. Fiscal plans and policies from the government, all of it impacts on this, and it impacts globally in a way where Obamacare, it's interesting information for the United States. But it doesn't really have a global impact. But gold will have a global impact. And so we'll see. Be interesting. We live in interesting times, and we will all be more and more interested in this next year. 2014 promises to be even more interesting than 2013. It's kind of like going to a horror movie, where each section of the film gets a little more rowdy, a little more scary than the one before.
And maybe that's a good question for the listeners today, maybe what they thought was the big story of the year.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
They can call us at 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. Let us know what you think is the story of the year, and did that story impact you? I know there's a lot of things that are going on in 2014. You have like 50-some tax credits, breaks, that are going to drop off. There's different laws that are going into effect come along the next year, and from various states. And so a lot of interesting things are going to be occurring in 2014. So.
Well, we'll get into this a little deeper when we get into the program, perhaps, with Joe Salente is predicting something like an economic class collapse in the first or second quarter of 2014. And it's not, you know, it's not an unreasonable prediction, and it's a plausible prediction. I don't know that it's going to happen, but it's not impossible, and we'll talk a little more about that as we get into the program.
And I believe John Williams is predicting something in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's first go ahead and get to the prices for gold today. They certainly did a number, you know, in the last hour of trade. You have gold down $16.50 at $1,198. You have silver down 48 cents at $19.70. You have platinum down 15 at $13.63. Palladium up, up a dollar at $7.14. The USDX today is, we'll have to bring up those numbers. Crude oil was down a dollar at $99.28. And the paper markets today, they didn't do much of anything today. Let me get to the paper markets. You have the Dow up 25 points at 16,504. And the big red headline is, of course, the Dow is ending at record closing high for the 51st time in 2013. And you know what? Those numbers really don't mean anything, Alfred. I mean, we, you know, I think gold pricing is more important than the Dow actually hitting a high for the 51st time. The NASDAQ was down 2 points at 41.54, and the S&P basically unchanged at 18.51, and they were able to bring the 10-year yield back under 3 at 2.98 on the day.
All right. What are you going to say? It's mostly just flat. Not much of a change.
I mean, you're not going to see much, you know, you're not going to see a lot of change at all.
I'm assuming the markets are open till noon or something like that tomorrow. Is that true or false?
I would assume. I haven't checked to see what the market timing is for tomorrow, mm-hmm. but probably noon, 1 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, gives folks a chance to place their bets. Gold going up another $16 or going down another $16. What will happen tomorrow, Melly?
What will happen tomorrow?
Yep.
You would think with gold being down 16, you'd probably see it come back a little bit tomorrow.
Come back 8. Something like that. But it's interesting. You just watch this stuff, but it's a certain amount of white noise no matter what happens in large measure because the markets are manipulated in a way where they do not reflect the reality of a free market. That's the problem we have. And we are led to believe that the price of gold that we see on the markets is the price of physical gold. And in fact, it's the price of paper gold. Huh? It's not. We assume that the prices, again, Comex sells allegedly about 60 ounces of paper gold for every 1 ounce of physical gold, and the result is that the market is skewed where it is primarily just a reflection of the price of paper gold. We don't know what the real price of physical gold is, and I suspect we're going to find out, however. It's going to be one of those things that this next year, and especially in the first and second quarter, there's a high probability that we are going to find out what the cost of gold is. For example, Here's something from Bill Holter. And he says, there's a COMEX December delivery problem. As of right now, dealers barely have enough gold to make settlement. In other words, people have been, they've invested in the gold market. They've got a piece of paper, but they don't want the paper. They said, no, I want my gold. I bid on gold. I want the physical gold. Don't give me a piece of paper. And as a result, the dealers, according to Bill Holder, barely have enough gold to make settlement. The total standing and stood for delivery is 667,000 ounces of gold, just under 21 tons. That's for December. After deducting what's been delivered, there looks to be about 9.5 tons left to be delivered, while dealers have just less than 10 tons available, which means by the time they're done, they're going to have, if they deliver all the gold from two people that want to take delivery. They don't want paper. They said, nope, no, I don't want paper. Give me the real deal. They're going to come up. They're going to have a half a ton of gold left over. All right? And on the face of it, the average man says, a half a ton? Boy, that's a lot. No, it's not much on the market. And it translates into, what, 1/40th? All right? Maybe 2% of what they might need in the month of February. The implication, here's another point that Bill Holter brings out. He says J.P. Morgan has stopped 97% of all deliveries so far, so they are accumulating the metal. On the one hand, the COMEX market is just about out of gold, and they can get more, I get that, but J.P. Morgan has stopped making 97% of deliveries on gold, so they are accumulating the metal. Now, if these facts are true, this suggests that we are close to where they run out of gold. We know, according to, I think it was Holter again, yeah, Bill Holter, we also know that China imported through Hong Kong an amount of gold over the past 2 years equal to 50% of all gold that was mined over that time, half of the gold that was mined during that time. Now, they are wondering, he's saying, therefore, we are left to wonder, this gold is coming from the West, but where is it coming from? Is it coming from Fort Knox? Is it coming from the Federal Reserve? Where is the gold coming from that's been going to China? And it may be, the implication is that maybe, and there have been rumors and stories about this, we don't know what the, no one's given a real audit of the gold at Fort Knox, for example, or the Federal Reserve, hasn't really been audited since 1953, if I understand correctly. It's over half a century since anyone actually went in and counted the bars of gold and said, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, and found out how much gold we really have. There is great speculation. We're supposed to have 8,200 tons of gold. There is great speculation that we don't have anywhere near that much. But what this means is if it turned out that the gold supply that would otherwise be expected to be at Fort Knox or at the Federal Reserve or under the control of the federal government, if that gold supply has been significantly diminished without the knowledge of the American people, it's not impossible that there's not much gold left there. It is certainly likely that that whatever gold is left won't be easily maneuvered out and put in the markets to supply the gold that we may need for February or January and then February and then March and so on to make for COMEX to make good. And the point in all of this is that the system will function just fine as long as people are prepared to take paper gold in payment for their investments, just gold certificates. As long as they're willing to take paper dollars for their work, system functions just fine. It's the same, it's essentially the same idea. But if we reach a point where COMEX has to admit, gee whiz, guess what? We don't have any more physical gold. Guess what? The whole paper gold industry collapses. The government and COMEX and the Federal Reserve and the big central banks and so on, they can spin paper money. They can probably spin paper gold out of thin air. But they can't spin physical gold. And when their ass, when their vaults, where they store their physical gold, are exhausted, then the game ends. People no longer take paper gold. No one takes it. No one wants the paper gold pieces, those pieces of paper, because they know that you can't trade them in for real gold. The illusion ends, and at that point in time, we're going to see probably the mother of all dominoes. That's going to tip over, and the next thing you know, it's hard to say what sort of ultimate impact that can have on our economy. It will certainly have a major impact on the price of physical gold. And we're close to it. Right? Is it going to happen? You know, they're going to get by in December. Are they going to get by in January? Maybe February, maybe March. I don't know. But there's a good chance that with before June of this next year, within 6 months of when we're talking, and maybe even next month, there's a good chance, a chance that the paper gold business collapses. And when it does, that's when we find out what physical gold is really worth, and that's when we are going to see price right up through the ceiling. So, you know, we live in interesting times. No one can say for sure what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, but there is evidence out there that suggests that, you know, the predictions from Gerald Celente and predictions from John Williams at ShadowStats.com that are suggesting there may be a significant problem in the first or second quarter of this next year. These predictions are not groundless. They're not impossible. They're not implausible. There's a good chance they might be true. So the lesson in all of this is, do you got gold? You know? I mean, that's part of the lesson of this. If they're about out at COMEX, that means price is going up. Question is, are they really about out of gold at COMEX, Melody, or is it just a temporary low? Do you know if they're going to be able to rebuild their inventory, or?
Well, I mean, we saw something similar with the silver industry.
Yep.
And, of course, you know, what really happened, not much. But I believe gold is a little bit different. There really is a lot of silver out there, more than, you know, what people are told. There is a lot of silver. That doesn't mean it makes silver a bad investment. I think silver is a very good investment. I really do believe it's going to follow the price of gold, and it's going to get up into those higher numbers. I don't believe silver is going to go to $300, $400, or $500, but I do believe we're going to get up to the $75 to $100 range in silver. Gold's different. We've seen the difference in gold just by the demand of foreign countries. It has a different purpose than silver, and I think that's what's so important about gold. And so, can it be replaced as easily? No, I don't think it can be. And
we're watching a day when the markets are going to run out of gold. Now, we're watching for that day, and we are getting closer to that day, and everyone understands this. No one is going to deny it, but we don't know for a fact when that day is. Whether that day is in January or whether or not it's in June or maybe it's December a year from now. We can't say for an absolute fact. But when they run out of, they can no longer deliver physical gold to people who've made the investment in physical gold, and it's going to happen. We just don't know exactly when. But it's going to happen, and when it does, then the whole paper market, paper gold market collapses, price of physical gold skyrockets, and the world, you're going to see people who have gold are going to be happy campers, and people who don't are going to wish they had. The only question is how soon.
And how soon will we be heading to break here in just a...
In 25 seconds.
25 seconds.
Did you want to whistle? Do you want to whistle for the last 25 seconds? No, probably not. Don't do that. Don't do that, because you know how the listeners react when you're whistling. All right. In any case, I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cedarstrom. We're not going to whistle on the program. I might sing, but we're not going to whistle. We will be back in about 3 minutes. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adesk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. And here we are on the 30th day of December, one more day in this year. That's all behind us. So if you had any New Year's Eve resolutions that you started a year ago, and maybe you kind of put them off until now, you still got 24 hours, a little bit more than that, to make good on those resolutions. So dig them out. Take a look for them and see what your resolutions are. Or if you like, you can just dig out that list you made last year and recycle it. Use it again this year, because chances are you didn't really stick up with your, didn't make good on your New Year's resolutions last time. And so use them again. You have just a standard bunch of New Year's resolutions. We use them every year, and saves time. You don't have to worry. What will my resolution be this year, Melody? You have any resolutions this year, Melody?
Same as last.
Uh-huh.
I'm one of those.
Is it anything that we can tell people, or is it something you want to keep private?
No. No, I'm going to have a new resolution this year, and we're going to tell the world on Thursday what those resolutions are. Yours, too.
Uh-huh. You know what Melody means by that, don't you? She hasn't made her resolutions yet, so she's till Thursday. And I'll tell you the resolutions on Thursday. That's what we really mean here. What are we going to talk about next, Melanie?
Well, you know, I mentioned earlier, this is just real brief about some of the laws that are going into effect come the first of the year, and also those laws that are expiring, the tax breaks. There's 55 popular tax breaks that are expiring at the end of the year. So Congress is letting that happen. And again, more confusion as far as what is and what isn't. And again, just another sign of what's coming out of Washington. Nobody, 55, that's a lot. That's a lot. I think it's a lot of tax breaks. It seems like a lot to me anyway. But this other one out is new laws that are going into effect. A lot of them have to do with marijuana. You both have Colorado. They have pot stores. That are opening up as retail
stores. Do you get pots and pans?
No, this is the kind that you smoke.
Not the kind I smoke, Melody. I don't smoke any pot.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't inhale, but.
Well, that's essential. If you're running for public office, you can smoke, but you can't inhale, as we know.
You have a lot of states that are, Illinois is becoming the 20th state to legalize medical marijuana, Wisconsin. You have towns and cities may legalize pedal pubs. This is multiple person bicycles that ferry riders to and from taverns. I mean, what is this place coming to? You know, I don't know. I just find that odd, along with transgender rights. California is becoming the first state to give specific rights to transgender students, which is starting in January. Unless opponents show that they have gathered enough petition signatures to put a referendum before voters seeking to overturn the law. But I've also seen California where they have had enough signatures, and they just ignore them anyway. So it'll be interesting to see how this one turns out. But it allows the transgender students to choose which restroom to use and whether to play on boys' or girls' sport teams.
Well, what's interesting about that, what grade does that start in?
It just says no specific grade.
I've seen it before, and it allegedly started all the way down around kindergarten. It's in grade school. It's not just high school. And you know what that means to me? I think it's a terrible, terrible law for this reason. You're going to wind up having boys and girls sharing the same bathroom. And on the face of it, I don't know, some people would argue that's not the end of the world. But what it means to me is you're going to see little boys and little girls becoming sexualized, becoming sexually conscious at a much earlier age, certainly than happened when I was back in high school and grade school and the rest. I mean, I can remember back in probably in junior high, and it was still a big thing to go over to the library and look for the peculiar words in the big dictionary. They had a dictionary that's probably 18 inches thick, and you could look up words that were strange. They had strange meanings, and they were, you know, words that were associated with sex and reproduction. The rest of that was a big thing. You have kids today. With the television and everything else, I'm going to guess that children, 8-year-old children, 10-year-old for sure, probably have as much exposure and at least superficial knowledge about sex as kids did in my age when we graduated from high school. That's an exaggeration to some degree. That's not quite true, but I'm guaranteeing you it's not so exaggerated that it's completely false. I don't think it's a good thing. I think it's harmful to these children. I think it causes them to try things and experiment with things that they don't understand, and they won't understand until years after the experiment. And then they're going to sit there and to some degree be ashamed and be filled with a certain amount of regret. I don't think it's just fun. I don't think it's a good thing. I think California is making a terrible mistake. You know, there are going to be boys down there. They're going to say, huh, huh, huh. Yeah, if I can get into the girls' bathroom, you can call me a transgender student. You know, I mean, it's not a good idea. And it defies essentially centuries of the understanding of human nature. And we're trying to be modern, and I think all we're going to succeed in doing is being self-destructive. This is going to hurt people before this is done, and I think it's a bad choice. What else, Melody?
Well, you also have some gun laws going into effect. Connecticut, guns that are considered assault weapons and large-capacity ammunition magazines that haven't been registered with Connecticut authorities will be considered illegal contraband as of January 1st. This law was passed in April. New York, we all know about New York, the state's new gun law passed shortly after, of course, the Sandy Hook shooting, banning high-capacity magazines and the purchase or sale of the AR-15 semi-automatic. By April 15th, it will also require registration of weapons, now classified as assault weapons, by owners who previously bought them legally. And I'll tell you what, if Democrats, again, get in this fall with these elections, these will become far more restrictive than what they're seeing in those two states.
Well, not if we got the guys from Duck Dynasty to protect us, Melody. won't stand for it. They'll protect us.
We also have a couple of laws in immigration. Nevada, immigrants living in the U.S. without legal permission, they can apply for driver authorization cards. State officials anticipate tens of thousands of people will apply under the program, along with Maryland. A similar program to Nevada's, the immigrants living in the U.S. illegally will be able to obtain a state driver's license or identification if they can provide evidence of a filed state income tax or were claimed as a dependent for each of the preceding 2 years. Maine healthcare providers will have to provide patients who request a list of prices of the most common health services and procedures, a law designed to boost transparency around medical costs. Delaware, the state, will limit patient copays for specialty tier prescription drugs to $150 a month for up to a 30-day supply. You wonder how all these will, did these laws come by the way of Obamacare? Or is this something that, just be changes from state to state with a lot of, no one is going to know what they have, what they don't have due to all these changes within the state and with the healthcare industry. And we're going to be bombarded with propaganda showing people who have signed up with Obamacare how great it is.
Well, I don't know, but I'm sure we'll be all bombarded with propaganda. There'll be no one. We may not be able to sign up, but by gosh, we're going to get that propaganda. That's for sure. But I saw a report where Obamacare is bragging that they had 1 million people sign up in the month of December, which brings their total up to really in the neighborhood, just over 1 million, I guess, who've signed up for this. They're saying that's pretty good, but how many people do you suppose are supposed to sign up for Obamacare, Melody?
How many?
It's probably going to be 200 million, maybe 250, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the rate of, if you sign up at the rate of 1 million a month, all right, and they're celebrating this, hooray, they got 1 million people. Well, if they can sustain that rate, you're talking 200 months until 200 million people have signed up for Obamacare. I don't remember what 200 months translates into, but probably about 16, 17 years. Understand? The whole point, they'll need to accelerate the sign-up quite a bit. 1 million a month isn't going to get it done. They need to have something substantially, and they may succeed in doing so, but I'm just saying, 1 million a month, no big deal. That gives you 200 months before everybody gets signed up, and maybe something like 250 months before we're all signed up at that rate.
Go ahead, Al.
Well, again, they're trying to get the whole country in on this deal. And my understanding is that deadlines are already taking place and or approaching. What were they thinking about if they thought they could get 200 million people to sign up? I guess other people, perhaps the majority of people will keep their insurance through their employer or at least through that avenue. I'm not sure how it will work out. But it still indicates that they needed 30, 40 million people to sign up a month. And clearly they didn't get that. So we'll watch and see.
There's just one more thing I wanted to mention, Al. The bombings that Russia's having. On the report that I've seen says two. I recently heard there was three different bombings, one on a train and a couple on a bus, trolley bus, killing more than 30 people within 24 hours. And, of course, we know that Russia's hosting the Winter Olympics, which is only 6 weeks away. So Putin has been very quiet. I haven't seen anything coming out from him. Of course, they have their investigations and so forth, and it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out and, you know, who takes responsibility and so forth. But, you know, Russia is not playing by everyone's rules. They're playing by their rules. You have the Ukraine situation. You have, you know, the situation that you had with Cyprus. And other areas that Russia has gotten involved with and their relationships with Iran and of course, China. So it'll be interesting to see what is spin off on
the Well, it'll depend on who gets blamed. That'll be the main thing. Who gets blamed? Is this the Muslims or is this some other group? First, everybody's guessing it's Muslims. At least that'll be people's first guess. But maybe that's just not true. Who is responsible? But you almost have to find the Muslims behind this because it's hard to find a person who is not highly motivated by their religion to be willing to strap on a bomb and in order to kill a few people and inevitably kill themselves. You don't find secular people. You don't find people who are, you know, just kind of interested in the religion, but they're not really dedicated. You've got to be a real fanatic about your faith in order to wear these bombs around your waist in order to get at a handful of other people. And not many faiths can deliver the kind of fanatics that you can find in the Muslim faith. And I'm not saying that critically. I'm just saying that that's just, for me, an objective observation. You're not going to find many Christians go, oh, yeah, I'll strap a bomb to my waste and blow myself up. Christians aren't likely to do it. Jews aren't going to do it. You know, Hindus aren't likely to do it. Who's going to do it? You know, takes a lot of. So the usual suspects will certainly include the Muslims. We don't know that they are. They are the parties responsible, but they'll be the first ones we think about. And then we'll watch and see. And once that happens, you know, some people, if you are sufficiently cynical, you can write something like this off. You can suspect that it's a false flag operation.
Yep.
We may find some people are going to be blamed for it, some kind of terrorists, Muslims, somebody, I don't know who. And it's not inconceivable that Russia could use that as a pretext to impose a much heavier police state presence, particularly during the Olympics. Maybe it's a justification for whatever, you know. And I don't think that's what's happened. I'm not inclined to believe that's true, but I am saying that if you're cynical, if you enjoy conspiracy theories, there's one for you. So what else do we have, Melanie?
Oh, I'm done with all my reporting.
All right, then let's do this. Here's something from Miles Franklin. And the headline is Gold Performs Best in Periods of Government Instability. Well, let me take a look at the clock here. We've only got 45 seconds. We've got to work on this timing thing, Melody. Frank starts the music right when the commercials are supposed to start. We got that. But you and I are running out of things to talk about. About 45 seconds before the commercials begin, and it's hard to, you know, what do we have to say?
Well,
in the
here's 15 seconds
left. Quick.
Here's a headline: Man ran through bingo hall with pants down, yelling "Bingo!" How's that for a headline news?
That's a good
one, but we're going to break for our commercials. Sure now, Kentucky. All right, we're going to break for... I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom, Whistling Melody. We're going to be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What else, Melody?
We were going to be talking about the gold.
Okay. You want me to just take off with that now?
Please do.
Gold performs best not in periods of inflation, but in periods of government instability. That's from Miles Franklin, a newsletter that's whether you may find access to.
But which we are better, Discount Gold and Silver.
We are competitors and so on, but regardless, he's got an article here with some interesting quotes, I think, that are, and he points out Ron Paul has talked about government instability and that we're facing, and he says, in part, this is Ron Paul, he says, the problems our nation faces today are staggering. We're $17 trillion in debt. All right, that's Ron Paul's point. He's going along with the official number. Again, John Williams says it's closer to $90 trillion. Congressional Budget Office says, including unfunded liabilities, it's over $200 trillion. But Ron Paul says we're $17 trillion in debt. The Constitution's Fourth Amendment is effectively being shredded before our eyes. The rates of taxing and spending only go one direction, up, and the Obamacare rollout has been a disaster. All right, so here comes Miles Franklin. They're continuing to say, will the cartel find enough physical gold to ship to China in 2014? Will the war fuse be lit in the Middle East? Will anger move into the streets here in America? Will the stock market continue to rise, not on the strength of the economy, but fueled by the liquidity provided by the Fed's quantitative easing policy? Will the dollar hold up? Will the euro hold up? He's saying these are questions, and they will get by. These are potential problems. And he's listed six or eight of them here. And presumably we'll get by several of them. But he's implying that, you know, if one or two of these things goes the wrong way, this is contributing to the instability that we may be facing in government. It may aggravate the instability we're facing in government right now. We have a lot of problems on the plate, on our plate, and they may manifest in the very near future. And if they do, what's going to happen? Goes on, Gerald Celente, one of the world's top trends researchers, his top trends in 2014 start with the Middle East. According to Celente, Iran, Syria, Egypt, Israel, Yemen, and Turkey are just a few of the countries facing big problems. Celente exclaims, you just keep going around the Middle East, it's total turmoil. Will there be war in the Middle East in 2014? Celente says, I thought it would have happened last year, but then again, there are wild cards. Celente at least thinks there's a continuing high probability for war in the Middle East, but he says he thought it was going to happen last year. It hasn't happened yet. We'll watch and see. In Asia, Celente points out, things are heating up between China and Japan. If that thing goes into a war, it's a whole new game. And the significance there is that we, by treaty, are obligated to help Japan. And we can get dragged into a war where we are fighting with Japan and against China. But China, of course, is sitting on over $1 trillion worth of U.S. bonds and dollars, paper dollars, that they can release into the global economy. And if they do, essentially, as an act of war, as defense, whatever you want to put, whatever label you want to put on it, the economic consequences to the dollar could be, certainly, it could cause a lot of trouble and would certainly cause the price of gold to go up. So we've got problems in the Middle East. We've got problems in Asia. Celente predicts, absent the war card, I think we will see a financial crisis before the end of the second quarter of 2014. Celente sums up what he sees in 2014 as a year of extremes. All right? Celente thinks we could see a financial crisis. Now, he doesn't define that crisis. A crisis is not necessarily a collapse. We don't know, but it's something that it's at least a level of seriousness similar to what we saw in 2007, 2008 in this country. And that, of course, was the beginning of a significant acceleration in the increase in the price of gold. On the economy, Celente predicts interest rates are going to go up. When interest rates go up, the economy is going down, period. Celente goes on to say, I think they are going to institute more tapering, and it's just going to create a financial crisis worldwide. Problems are not just here in this country. Problems are global, and it's difficult to say. The whole system is put together, you know, like you see those chains of dominoes. They cover a whole basketball court with those dominoes. And they're set up where if you push one domino, it starts a chain reaction that afflicts every domino on the entire basketball court. And they all tip over. But the truth of the matter is, even though there is one domino that's intended to start the whole chain reaction, the truth is you can get much of the chain reaction by pushing other dominoes. There's a lot of dominoes out there on the basketball court. And if some kid in the stand has a bean blower, and he happens to hit one of the dominoes out on some other portion of the basketball court, he can make a lot of things happen. And the point I'm trying to illustrate is that there are a lot of potential problems, and they're not all easily controlled. And it's possible that something can come out of left field that we're not anticipating.
fading. And next thing you know, because the entire system is so fragile, we can see a difficult situation turn into something chaotic. On gold, Salente predicts when they're going to dump more dough, then they're going to dump more dough into the system. When that happens, that's when you're going to see the real panic start to happen. You're going to see a rise in gold prices that's going to eclipse the last one. Salente doesn't clarify what he means by eclipse the last one. He might merely mean that gold is going up over its previous high of $1,900 per ounce. Or he might be predicting that the percentage of growth in gold is going to be even greater than it's been in the past. For example, gold rose from $400 an ounce in 2004 to $1,900 an ounce in 2011. That's an increase of 375% in 7 years, an average increase of more than 50%, $200 per year. No, well, 50% per year. If the rise in gold price was 50% or more per year, we could expect to see gold at over $1,800 by the end of 2014, over $2,400 by the end of 2015. Mr. Salente didn't give us a number for gold. He didn't say gold was going to go to a particular price. At least I didn't. It's not information I'm aware of. He didn't give us a date, and he said gold would be at this price at a certain month and a certain year. That's not what we have. But nothing in the previous speculation is impossible. Gold could easily double in the next 2 years. It's not even hard to imagine that gold goes from $1,200 an ounce to $2,400 an ounce over the course of the next 2 years. It's a 100% increase in price. It doubles 100% up in 2 years. Not hard to imagine. Not hard to imagine at all. And it could continue to skyrocket for several more years into the future, assuming that we have some sort of a financial crisis that diminishes the apparent value of the fiat dollar. And in the event that happens, well, bang, 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 gold is going to go up, up, and up. And what do you think, Melody?
Well, I agree. And I think 2014 is going to be an interesting year, and I think he's spot on. I think you're going to see extremes. Anything could happen this year. It's an election year, and I think it's anybody's guess what quarter something's going to happen. We have the debt ceiling we have to address prior to the election. We'll have to see how the Janet Yellen fits into the picture. Can she provide the confidence to the markets that is needed to keep things flowing smoothly throughout the year? I don't think she can. She just doesn't ring confidence like Ben Bernanke, and that's why I say Ben Bernanke made that announcement this month was just to provide the markets with some pep before she comes in. So we'll see. A lot of things can happen, and we all know these markets are all based on confidence, and we all know that these markets, the fundamentals on the paper markets, is really the Federal Reserve. So
I don't necessarily agree that Janet Yellen is. You imply that she's coming in and she may be too weak to handle the job. I don't know that that's...
I don't think she's weak to handle the job. It's how she's going to be perceived. And she just doesn't remind me of someone... She could be very well capable of handling the position. However...
But neither did Ben Bernanke when he took over from Alan Greenspan. Anyone coming in after Alan Greenspan, people say, well, who is this kid? He can't do anything. Well, Bernanke's been there he's had his term, and we can debate how well he served in that term. But under the circumstances, you got to give him credit. And I think we're thinking about Bernanke as if he's a pretty strong player, and Yellen may not be that strong or may not be perceived. But I think you give her a chance. It's possible. You know, we'll watch and see. She may turn out to just, if she makes some serious mistake, or if she's just blamed for someone else's serious mistake, then she'll lose the credibility that she needs to probably hold and may manage that office.
I mean, she's just going to do what she's told to do. However, it's all how she you know, it's just how she projects. I mean, are they going to, is she going to instill confidence? Doesn't matter even what she says. I mean, heck, half the people didn't even know what Alan Greenspan said. Nobody even understood what he was
talking
about.
Well, I understand
about.
That. That's what made him so powerful.
And that's what made him
powerful.
Get up
there and mumble, and some people seemed to know what he was talking about, and most people said, what the heck did that? That guy must be really smart. I can't understand a word he said. You know, so perhaps Janet Yellen, she'll develop some sort of a speech impediment. She'll start to mumble when she speaks, and everybody's, oh, my gosh, she's really smart. I can't understand anything she says. So we'll see. It's just another one of those interesting changes that are, you know, right here on the immediate horizon. Got 2014 just hours away, really. What, 36 hours away, something like that? I'm not sure. Something in that neighborhood. Going to be interesting. There will be no shortage of things to talk about. There will be no shortage of things to explain, not just to listeners, but to ourselves, to try to make sense of what we think may be happening. It's going to be an interesting year. It's going to be a challenging year. And it's probably going to be a year where it's incumbent on everyone, you and I and the people that listen to the program, to keep their ears open and their eyes peeled. Because this is not going to be business as usual in 2014. If you thought 2013 was a little bit unpredictable, unstable, a little bit, perhaps even a little scary at times, odds are it won't be less so in 2014. Odds are it's going to be more unpredictable. It's going to be more unusual and strange. And you're going to have to know how to think on your feet. You're going to have to be able to make adjustments and in order to protect yourself. This will be a year where you're going to have to think about your financial survival. If you have your wealth placed in one investment or another investment or a third investment, things are moving in a way that is rapid enough where you better keep an eye out. You better watch what's happening to your wealth. And it'll be a year where you can't just sit back and say, I predict, I'll be all right. For this particular stock, this bond, this gold, this whatever it is, say, this is what's, I feel comfortable. I don't think you can really feel comfortable and secure with most investments right now. You're going to have to watch and not just react. You're going to have to use enough perception and courage to anticipate problems. And if you can figure out what's likely to happen a month from now, 6 months from now, if you can make those predictions and you can say, yeah, I think I know what's going on, and you have the courage sufficient to back up your own perceptions on these things, and you're right, if you're right, you may be able to do quite well in 2014. It's going to be a volatile year. It is almost certainly going to be an unstable and volatile year, and things will go up and things will go down. But where will they end it? Where will they be at the end of 2014? That'll be the question for all of us to take a look at. Where's gold going to be at the end of 2014, Melody? Will we save our prediction until Thursday, or you want to stick your neck out now?
Let's save it till Thursday. We'll have a little more time.
All right. So, and we're going to do, Frank, we're going to give you a break today, Frank, because we're going to start the closing commercials about 10 seconds early. So, Frank, you'll have about 10 seconds off. I want to thank all of the folks for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back no later than Thursday. Have a happy new year, all you folks, and may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.